It then rose up into the air. One of the events was pointing in my direction and I could feel a strong current of heat coming my way which blew up some of the loose sand. Soon the craft was climbing and the figure in the control dome, who had been watching all the time, waved. I was told later that it was Weora. The ship now moved out over the surf, rising all the time. I saw green identification lights come on underneath the craft. The craft itself was not emitting any light. The only illumination was the light coming from the control dome while it was close and on the beach. The outside was steel gray in color but shiny. One could not see any rivets or joints or welds, it seemed to be one complete molding, like two saucers put rim to rim. After Voldar left, it took me quite a while to adjust. He had been with me for about 2 years and we had spent a lot of time together, both at work and the most of our weekends and holidays. He became a very close friend and although I had other friends before he came, they seemed to have dropped away gradually during those 2 years. When he left, I felt very lonely, as you can imagine. It seemed I had no friends at all after he had gone. I got so used to his company and his voice, his ways. He had told me so much about his planet and the way of life there that I found it difficult to go back to the normal everyday, rather shallow type of relationships I had had before. There was simply no one else with whom I could share my recent experiences. I guess that's why these radio contacts have played such an important part in my life since then. It was about 1 month after Voldar had gone when I received my first message through the radio receiver he had given me. But it was not from Voldar, it was from Weora. I got the impression that Weora was the man in charge of the whole operation and that Voldar treated him as his chief. There was a lot of interference in the reception and I had to use a long vertical antenna. I was still on the Sugar Estate, living with my younger married sister. These radio transmissions were of a general nature, keeping in contact with me every 2 or 3 weeks. That's how it was at the beginning, that's how it all happened. Later, I learned that the ancestors of the people of the Confederation visited Earth a very long time ago, leaving their culture which formed the ancient civilizations. But the incredible thing is that unknown to the world at large, they are still among us today. Chapter 2, I am Weora, I am Weora. This was his characteristic way of beginning and ending a radio transmission. He had a gentle, deep, rich voice. An outstanding voice. I have had the pleasure of hearing him speak on several occasions on these tape recordings. Why are Earth people so different? Asked Weora, in a radio transmission to Q-Base. The name he gave to Edwin's group. The rulers of several other planets in our universe have received us with open arms. Indeed, very recently, Koldus has established friendly trade relations with Pyrol, a planet that has reached the same level of evolution as Earth. Now there is a bond of friendship between the inhabitants of Pyrol and the Confederation. Why are the rulers of Earth so different? I have often pondered this problem. How I wish they would accept our friendship. I feel sure that in time to come, those who make the decisions on your planet will accept us. Then all the knowledge we have gained will be given to you freely. You will also learn the secrets of the universes, galaxies and solar systems that lie beyond your Earth. If only we could come freely. But this is unfortunately not permitted by our superiors. On occasions, I have had the urge to enter your atmosphere and show ourselves to you in our astral craft. But because of Earth hostility, I cannot endanger the lives of the personnel for whom I am responsible. I must consider their families and relatives on Koldus. Although I am sure that if I asked them to come they would not refuse. But I cannot take this risk. To land openly on your planet we must obtain permission from our superiors on Koldus but they will not grant this until all Earth's governments have fully accepted the Confederation. We only come in peace. We will not invade your planet. Your governors must accept us of their own free will. We only wish to bring you happiness, peace and a better way of living. Other planets have learned to share knowledge amongst themselves, and by doing this, each planet automatically progresses to a bit higher level. We could show our fleets of astral craft to the millions of inhabitants of Earth. The maneuver is easily arranged by flying low over all the capital cities of Earth. But if we did this, we would rob your rulers of their freedom to choose or reject us. Yes, your leaders know about us. They know of the work we have done above and below the seas of your planet in the past. We always contact the rulers first whenever we discover a new planetary civilization. But most of the Earth's population are not ready to accept the fact that there is life beyond their atmosphere. A gradual acceptance of extraterrestrial life may probably be better in the long run. That is why we are making these radio transmissions to you at Q-Base. We hope to bring a little more light to you. We would like to tell you something about Calder's and the Confederation and about the two universes, and also to warn you about the negative element from the fringes of our own universe, which is known to us as the Outer Worlds. Your planet will never regret making friends with Calder's. If you did make friends, then conditions would change. There would be no poverty and no wars. You would learn to live in peace. We regard you at Q-Base as special people. You have accepted us as friends. There are many like you on Earth. That was part of the first messages. That was in 1962, before we had the massive arsenals of terrible weapons we have today, before we had orbiting Earth satellites, before we had put men into space. According to these UFO nauts, an invitation had been extended and was rebuffed. It was now 6 years since Volda had left from Richards Bay. By 1968, a group had gathered around Edwin, who both heard and studied the radio messages which came from the spacecraft of the Confederation at regular intervals. Most of these transmissions were made by Weora and Volda, but occasionally other spacecraft commanders would give short talks on particular subjects. Edwin did not keep records of the radio transmissions during the first 5 years, but after the formation of his group, Weora embarked upon a new series of explanatory talks, and these were tape-recorded, transcribed and circulated to members of the group and other interested people. In one of these early transmissions, Weora said, "We have much to tell you of ourselves and our comings and goings, but first I would like to mention that we come in peace. We only wish to bring peace to your own planet. There is an ancient call sign, Mulga Calder's, which means, 'We come in peace.' This call is widely recognized. And this sign must be given before we of the Confederation may land on any planet. Calder's, the home planet of Weora and Volda, is one of 8 in a solar system that is part of a confederation of 12 planets, or more accurately, 12 solar systems. Calder's, which is larger than Earth, is the principal planet of its solar system, and most of the population live there. All the planets in the Confederation are in another universe. In Earth terms, the distance would run into many light years, but as the Confederation spacecraft, the astral craft and the earlier starships have time machine characteristics, the journey can be bridged in an incredibly shortened time interval. Recently, some astronomers have postulated that instantaneous journeys through the universe are feasible through black holes and timeless passages and an Einstein-Rosen bridge. The Iron Sun, Adrian Berry, published by Jonathan Cape, a large fleet of freight and passenger craft glide rapidly along the magnetic pathways. Some craft are capable of carrying thousands of people. Long-distance cargo carriers and space cruisers link the cold Asian solar system with the other members of the Confederation. Remember, this was received in 1968, whenever ideas of superlight travel were preposterous. The bulk of the industrial activity of that solar system is located on Calder's to neighboring planets. Here, the astral craft and the mighty space cruisers are built. On the other planets, there is agriculture and the mining of rich mineral deposits. Cities and planets in this solar system are linked by radio and TV communication and a transport network. Weora said, "We owe our present level of civilization and technology to the Grand Orients, who taught our primitive ancestors a better way of life. They took some of our people to Granda, where they were instructed by wise and wonderful teachers. Granda is the mother planet of the Confederation. It is an old planet, and her people are the oldest race known to us. They travel through endless corridors of space in their craft to search for new planets, and this is how they discovered Calder's. They found a race of people who were primitive and whose knowledge did not extend beyond their own horizons. Grand Orient missionaries landed on Calder's after obtaining permission from local rulers. They brought their highly evolved civilization with them, and eventually Grand Orients and Caldasians intermarried and a new age dawned for the Caldasian solar system. Later Weora spoke about his family, his wife Sharon and his daughters. How fascinated they were with stories of his travels to Earth and about the radio transmissions made to Q bases all over our planet, especially to Edwin's little group. He described his wife Sharon as tall and slim, about 1.80 meters in height, with corn-color hair, blue eyes and a clear complexion. His two daughters, Rama, Morning Star, and Tana, Sunlight, both bearing a remarkable resemblance to Sharon. Weora often tells stories of how relations and friends come to see the spaceships off when they leave their own planet for a tour of duty to Earth's solar system. Then everyone comes aboard the astral craft to have refreshments as part of the farewell party. Invariably the crew insist that Weora's daughters sing a song to send them on their way. Making a transmission to Q base, Weora spoke of the training he had undergone to qualify as an astral pilot. It took the equivalent of 5 of our Earth years. The first 3 years are spent on the mother planet as they are taught how to pilot and navigate astral ships and to repair vital components. Each pilot is taught the main language of the solar system which he will be patrolling. The last 2 years are spent on the selected foreign planet, learning about their religions, their habits and customs and the other languages spoken there. Weora described how his own training period ended with a test which required his piloting an astral craft to our solar system in the year 1942. An experienced astral pilot supervised and on reaching Earth, instructed him to land the craft on a deserted beach on the natal north coast. A man and his wife were there to meet him and they welcomed him as they took him by car to a cottage on the beach about 25 kilometers from Durban. Here, Weora spent his first 6 months studying newspapers and other literature so that he could perfect his English and learn the background of life on Earth, particularly the religion. In his spare time he liked walking down from the cottage to the beach where he rested and relaxed. The next 6 months were spent working for a firm specializing in electronics in the city. This also gave him the opportunity to travel to neighboring towns and villages. After spending a year in South Africa, Weora went by astral craft to Great Britain and America. Here he was mainly interested in the healing arts. He attended lectures on the latest advances in medicine. At the end of 1943 he returned to South Africa for a brief stay with his friends. They took him to a deserted beach on the north coast where an astral craft was waiting to take him home. Upon his return to Calder's, he was thoroughly tested on all he had learned during his experiences on Earth. It is a great day in the life of an astral pilot when he is told to report to the main communication center to receive his pilot colors. Weora was one of a group who paraded in the main square. They were all in the full dress uniform of astral pilots, light blue, close-fitting space suits, silver gloves and boots which reached above their wrists and ankles, and dress gear. Each carried a lightweight silver space helmet under his arm. They formed up in a half circle and their leaders presented them with their colors. These were in the form of epaulettes. Weora's colors were green, representing Earth's solar system. The other pilots were given colors according to the solar system they would patrol. All new commanders were introduced to the crew who would accompany them on their patrols.